Up now, we're going to take a look at an interview that we are doing with very own David Moore. If you look at the night sky this week, you're seeing our closest celestial neighbour in a whole new night. This Saturday, March 28th, Astronomy Ireland is hosting its annual Moonwatch, giving the public a chance to peer through giant telescopes at craters larger than the island of Ireland. Joining us now to talk about why March is the perfect time for stargazing is Ireland's best-known astronomer and editor of Astronomy Ireland magazine, David Moore. David, thanks a million for joining the show.
My pleasure.
David, you've called the moon the most impressive sight in a telescope. For someone who's only ever seen it with the naked eye, what exactly am I missing out on when I don't have that, you know, extra magnification?
Well, when you get to see the moon up close, you're seeing an ancient surface about 3.5 billion years old that was peppered by giant rocks from space blasting into its surface. And it stayed that way for all those billions of years. So through a telescope, you see thousands of craters. And the big ones, a lot of them have central peaks, central mountains. And the telescopes we're going to set up this weekend are so powerful, you can see multiple peaks in the mountain range at the center of one crater. And there are hundreds of craters like that with impressive central peaks. So it never gets old. I've been looking at the moon through telescopes for decades, and it's still fascinating every time you look, because the lighting is always different, and it seems like a whole new landscape you're seeing. And you said there earlier that why is this a good time to do it? Well, there's a quarter moon in our sky this week, and that's the best time to watch, because you want the edge where the dark side meets the light side. That's where the sun is setting, and it casts long shadows, which make the mountains stand out in stark relief. You don't want to watch a full moon. A crescent moon, there's too little of the moon visible. So the first quarter and spring is about the best time. And the March equinox happened last Friday, marking the start of spring in Ireland. And so the moon at that time comes up very quickly away from the horizon. And so it's very high up once it gets dark. So we've set up 8 o'clock Saturday night. The moon will be lovely and high. It'll be between quarter and full moon, so lots of shadows being cast. It's the perfect time to look at the moon. Get some of the most powerful telescopes, add that into the mix, and you'll give people a night they will never forget. So we want people to bring the entire family, all their friends, colleagues. Our headquarters are just outside Dublin on the M50, so you don't have to go into the city. Easy to get to from any part of the country. And we'll do the rest if you can get along.
Yeah, David, it's incredible. 400,000 kilometres away, and yet we can still see mountains to the ones we have here in Ireland. When it comes to these mountains, where in Earth, you know, a lot of them were formed through whatever tectonic activity and stuff, how would that differ from how they would have been formed on the moon?
Well, on the moon, they're all caused mostly by impacts. Okay. And we know the Earth and the Moon, the Sun, all formed from a huge cloud of gas and dust, and all that dust started to stick together, ultimately made boulders, and they started running into each other to make small planets, and they all eventually swept up all that material. So the first billion years of the solar system's history was very chaotic, and so the Earth would have been heavily cratered, peppered, like being hit by a shotgun, same as the Moon. But the Earth has got, of course, weather, wears the rocks away, and those plate tectonics you mentioned, where we have the Earth basically is molten rock with a metal core and a thin crust sitting on top, which is divided into these big plates that move around, rub against each other, and wipe out the surface. So our surface is fairly new here on the Earth. On the Moon, though, it's 3.5 billion years old, and it's sort of frozen in time that way, showing all those impacts that happened. And the big dark splodges that you can see with the naked eye, there we think huge objects hit the moon and blasted a hole so deep that the hot rock inside oozed out and settled as a vast dark lava sea. And only a small number of objects hit those areas afterwards to pepper them with some craters, whereas the rest of the highly cratered area, especially the south pole of the moon, is craters on top of craters. It's a very chaotic-looking landscape indeed.
And David, this is an annual event, but what I want to ask is, this year, the date of the Moonwatch lands on March. is it usually only March or different months compared to the year that would be the best time to see the moon, or does it kind of change each year?
Yeah, it's not an exact date, really. February, March, April would all do fine. And you can see the moon as well at other times of the year, but we wanted it when it's near first quarter and at its highest, and that's going to technically be around the equinox that happens in March, 20th, 21st of March usually. So, you know, we look at when is the quarter moon in March and then decide for social reasons, civil reasons, what's the best night to do it. We've picked this Saturday night. And another reason for picking Saturday, because we could have gone with Friday, is that Jupiter is in the sky. In fact, tomorrow night, Thursday night, you look at the moon, there'll be a brilliant star, in quotes, next to the moon. That's actually the planet Jupiter. It's at its best placed from Ireland until the year 2036. So we're going to point some of the telescopes at Jupiter on Saturday night as well, because the Great Red Spot, the huge swirling storm as big as the Earth, is actually on the side of Jupiter facing us. And we'll see its moons as well. So we'll have a two-in-one this year. It's primarily our annual moon watch and a Jupiter watch as well. So lots of reasons to come along and have a look.
For those listening who would love to join you at the Astronomy Ireland HQ in Rossmount, where do they need to go to book tickets, and what time does the moon watch kick off?
Well, it's 8 o'clock on Saturday, and our website's very simple, astronomy.ie. You can book your tickets there for the price of a coffee, and we will be serving free tea, coffee, biscuits, sweets for the kids as well to keep you warm on that night. And I'll be giving a talk about the moon's history, even more than we've discussed today, and of course the upcoming mission. We're going back to the moon to build bases and have large colonies of people on the moon. There are billions, not tens of billions, ultimately hundreds of billions of dollars, euros being spent on this in the coming years. And there's a new space race. The Chinese have said they're going to land on the moon in 2030. The Americans hope to do it in 2028. And the launch next Tuesday of the Artemis 2 mission sends people around the moon to reconnoiter the landing zone. And they'll actually become the humans that have been most far from their home planet in all of history.
David, this is quite an... I know it might be out of the scope, but in terms of the recent project that you just mentioned, the Chinese and the American going to the moon, when it comes to, and obviously this is going to be far out now, but when it comes to commercial trips, when it comes to maybe the average person being able one day to set their foot on the moon, would you, in your opinion, would you see that in the far future, or do you think it's nearer than we think?
Well, we love inspiring young people in Astronomy Ireland. And if anyone wants to get our magazine, when you're on astronomy.ie, do sign up for it, especially for kids. Science is the main aspect of the Irish economy, and we're always looking for new graduates, and any interest in space could turn out to one of those fantastic jobs in those big tech companies that are nicely paid. And to inspire people in the future to take up science means there'll be a lot more astronaut candidates. And Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, who, you know, the world's richest people, they have both got space businesses. What do they know that everybody else doesn't know? In fact, financial people have said, not scientists, not engineers, that they expect the first trillionaire will be a space entrepreneur. Could be one of those two. But space is definitely the future, and now it's becoming a very big, it's about a trillion dollar industry these days, worldwide. And so if you get into that, I think especially young people, the way we all perhaps know, I know a few pilots, and if you know a few pilots, I won't say they're 10 a penny, but they're not uncommon today. The same will be applying to young people when they're at retirement age. They'll know astronauts that live in their community, because Bezos and Musk have said publicly on stage they're going to put 1 million people in space by the end of this century. Wow. Now, put that in context, there's been about 600-700 in space to date since the space age began. So that's a huge change that's coming. And there's, for a million people in space, there'll be tens or hundreds of millions working in the space industry on the ground. And Ireland is a member of the European Space Agency, so we've got plenty of space companies at work. There are thousands of jobs supported by it across Ireland, right now as we speak, and that's a sector due to grow.
David, thank you very much for taking the time to be with me today.
My pleasure. Astronomy.ie will do the rest.
That was David Moore with Astronomy Ireland. Again, this annual Moonwatch that David will be hosting will be taking place on Saturday, March 28th, starting off at 8 p.m.